I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. The Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the ant. Ants evolved from wasps in the Cretaceous period. This is about 140 million years ago. The word ant comes from the Dutch empt, meaning the biter.
Ow!
There are an estimated 22,000 species of ants on Earth.
Aww.
Ants generally live in colonies that can sometimes consist of millions of individuals. Ants are all over the Earth, everywhere except Antarctica, Greenland, Iceland, and parts of the Hawaiian Islands don't have any native ant species. Oh, but they're there. Ant societies can solve complex problems, just like human societies.
X squared minus 9x plus 14 equals 0.
That don't make sense.
Ants are the only group other than mammals where teaching has been observed.
Did you know that an ant never sleeps?
No!
An ant can lift 50 times its own weight.
Ants have compound eyes, lots of little tiny lenses all hooked together, but they have bad eyesight. Some of the underground ants are completely blind.
I'm in the dark here!
They have little feelers, antennas attached to their heads that detect air currents and vibrations.
Being able to feel out vibrations will help you a lot.
Yeah.
An ant's life starts in an egg. The females are diploids, the males are haploids. The larvae are fed through regurgitation of liquid food. Queens can live up to 30 years. The little worker ants, 1 to 3 years. Crushed ants emit pheromones that send other ants into a frenzy. Bullet ants in South America have the most painful sting of any insect.
Ow!
The sting of Jack Jumper ants can be fatal to people. It's been estimated that the total number of individual ants in the world is 10 quadrillion. We love ants at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
It's Adam Ant. His strength, his might, his speed, his fight. He's Adam Ant, that tiny ant, and his atomic power has what it takes and always makes the vilest villain cower. He's rough, he's tough, and bad guys yell it up when he is up and Adam Ant.
Thank you.
thoughts and opinions about the topics and issues of the day that matter to us most. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. What's on your mind this week, Fab?
Been noticing this on the street lately where you see older guys in their 60s, even 50s sometimes, but more 60s, 70s, whatever. And these guys are clearly, they're wearing a toupee.
Attitudes are changing. Men no longer need to hide the fact that they wear a hairpiece to look better and to command a better response from others.
And, I don't have a problem with people doing that, and it's fine.
Toupee.
You
know. Toupee. I looked in the mirror today. My eyes just didn't seem so bright.
Yo, I think you're balding.
I've lost a few more hairs. I think I'm going bald.
Okay, you're balding. There's a bald spot. Bald.
I think I'm going bald.
It's interesting to see older guys who have toupees that are really old and that look really ratty. I mean, it looks like a dead rat was splayed open and plopped on this guy's head, I've seen this a number of times and I don't understand, can they not tell that these toupees are just worn out, old, and frayed, and just look bad?
GLH means great-looking hair. Just spray GLH on, and it instantly covers your bald spot.
The babes are back.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Is that because they're vain, and they don't want to have the world see that they're bald, but they don't want to spend the money on a new toupee? What's the deal there?
I don't wear a toupee. It's my hair. I swear.
Or maybe they just can't afford a new toupee, which that's fine, but they don't want to just get rid of it because it looks worse if they're bald. That's nutty.
See the hair man. She'll have more of you to love.
Let's swing that spotlight around, fellas, and shine it brightly on one very exceptional community in our listing area. Our Civic Showcase this week features Hackensack, New Jersey. Hackensack's located in Bergen County, about 31 miles north of Jersey City. Population, 43,010, and it's growing. In Hackensack, you'll find Fairleigh Dickinson University.
Class! Shut up!
The New Jersey Naval Museum and the World War II submarine USS Ling. The Hackensack University Medical Center. And the Bergen County Jail. The Lenape Algonquin Native Americans were the first people in the area.
Aww.
Along the banks of what they called the Akingsawsack, today the Hackensack River. The Lenape deeded the land to the Dutch West India Company in 1660. A few years later, the English took it.
Paul McCartney, if you are listening, Adrian from Brooklyn loves you with all her heart. I love you, Paul, and please come to the window so I can just see you.
In November of 1776, during the American Revolutionary War, George Washington headquartered in Hackensack.
I wish my brother George was here.
By 1868, sewers and other improvements had come to Hackensack. Lots of famous songs have been written about Hackensack by artists like Jim Croce. Steely Dan. And
songs of Wayne immortalized Hackensack.
And if you ever get back to Hackensack, I'll be here for you.
As did Billy Joel.
He needs a house out in Hackensack. Is that all you get for your money?
Some famous people from Hackensack include singer Debbie Boone.
You light up my life.
Author F. Scott Fitzgerald.
What foul dust floated in the wake of his dreams that temporarily closed out my interest in the abortive sorrows and short-winded elations of men.
Mountain guitarist Leslie West is from Hackensack. As is astronaut Wally Schirra.
Astronaut Wally Schirra, his Sigma 7 capsule, and the Atlas rocket are 59 minutes from launch, and the countdown is continuing.
At Wake and Bake, we're proud to serve Hackensack, New Jersey. At Hackensack, we hope you're listening.
Good morning, Clay, and I know all of your listeners are gung-ho for another hump day. It's a funny phrase, right?
Yeah.
Gung-ho. One of those things we say, or our dads did anyway, that we know what means, but we don't really know why. And if you're guessing that it has a bit of a Chinese sound, well, you're right.
I love China!
Like so many of the colorful phrases we use, gung-ho has its origins in the military. But how it came from the Chinese is a bit of a mystery. It's generally traced back to the Chinese phrase kung ho, which means work together.
There are some things we can only do together as a nation.
In fact, a 1943 movie starring Robert Mitchum was named Gung Ho and told the story of Carlson's Raiders, a Marine battalion who supposedly popularized the phrase.
The Chinese have a word for it. It is gung ho. Gung to work. Ho harmony. I propose it as our motto. Gung ho. Come on, now give it to me.
But Simon Winchester tells a different story. Winchester wrote The Professor and the Madman, a book about the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary, which is a favorite around the Word of the Week offices. His book, The Man Who Loved China, actually tells the stories of several men who loved China, including New Zealander Rui Alley, who devised a scheme during the Sino-Japanese War to create mobile factories. These factories produced such needed goods as candles, light bulbs, fabrics, and even small boats and railroad parts.
Oh my God! Woo!
And were organized under the name Chinese Industrial Cooperative. The first two characters of that name in Chinese are Gung and Ho.
Aww.
When the Japanese forces got too close, the small workshops could be quickly dismantled, moved, and reassembled. American soldiers picked up on the name and used it to mean up and at 'em, gung-ho.
I got a 100-year-old grandma who gets out of her sack faster than you people, doesn't she?
Yes, sir!
Either way, let's all say gung-ho and beat this Wednesday down. What do you say, Clay? Gung-ho?
Gung-ho.
See you next week.
Now here's station manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. Waldorf, Maryland. Multiple people ill after a gas leak at Denny's. Seattle, Washington. A mysterious white powder at Seattle Coast Guard Base is being investigated. Ramapo, New Jersey. Ramapo High School students were sent home early Thursday after a teacher discovered 35-year-old bottles containing an unlabeled crystallized substance in the chemistry lab. Washington, D.C., 7 people hospitalized after a letter potentially laced with fentanyl is opened at a D.C. jail. North Bergen, New Jersey, a 4-alarm fire burned at the local waste treatment center. Fire departments from Jersey City, Kearney, Bayonne, and Hoboken were called in to assist with the blaze, which was accidentally ignited when the local townsfolk entered the facility with torches looking for the monster. Tulsa, Oklahoma. A suspicious envelope is found at Tulsa Social Security office. Stockton, California. Two people injured in a honey oil lab explosion. Honey oil, AKBHO, a potent extract of cannabis. By using...
Hold it, station manager Ken. Geez, local townsfolk with torches and a Denny's gas leak. We've all experienced that. Listeners, let's see. Do you want another one? Do you want a bonus hazmat item? We'll go to you now and see what they say. They say, go for it, station manager.
Gainesville, Florida, meth lab explosion in the Bella Vista apartments causing a fire.
It's always those meth labs. I have the distinct pleasure this morning of speaking with Robert. He's a barber at the Danville Manor Barbershop in Danville, Kentucky.
Well, hello there.
Hello to you. How are you feeling this morning?
I feel pretty good. Pretty good this morning.
Now, do you have a busy schedule today, Robert, or Monday's a little slow there in Danville?
Well, actually, we're the only barbershop that's open on Monday, so I don't do appointments on Mondays. It's walk-ins. So I'm subject to be busy or subject not to be.
And how big is Danville? Pretty small?
It's a small town. I tell you what, I could get to anywhere I need to get to as far as handling business in 5 minutes in my car.
Have you lived there your whole life in Danville?
I've been here over a year now, actually.
Right, right.
I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
Now that's the home of Muhammad Ali?
That is correct.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a nice part of the country. Do you like being a barber? Is it a good thing to do for a living?
It is. I believe I met my calling because as a barber, I get the opportunity to share, to encourage, to listen, and we deal with all different types of walks of life. I cut white or Caucasian hair. I cut black hair. I cut Africans. I cut Mexicans. We deal with all different types of culture. One thing about the barbershop is guys open up to us. They share their intimate feelings. They ask for our opinion from time to time.
So you're kind of a part-time a psychiatrist there almost.
I wouldn't put it go that far, but one thing's for sure. If they ask for my opinion, I tell them, please don't ask unless you want the 100% truth as far as I know it. It keeps the door open and understanding that, yeah, I'm going to share the truth, even if you might not like it.
It's a delight talking to you, Robert. What message would you send out to our listeners here in Jersey City and New York City and beyond in our listening audience from little Danville, Kentucky? Message from a barber this morning.
Message from the barber from Danville, Kentucky is this. Here in Danville, we care about you as an individual. More important than your ethnic background, more important than your religious background, your political affiliation. We care about you as a person.
Color doesn't matter to you, does it?
I can't fool myself to believe that everybody don't see color. But I'm a strong believer in if you're a jerk, you're a jerk no matter what color you are.
I think you're right. Robert,
yes,
I really enjoyed talking to you. You have a great day, okay?
Well, I thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And I hope we speak again, sir. You take care.
Thank you.
Good morning, radio listeners. This is your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. Even though most cheeses are aged, that doesn't mean all cheeses get better indefinitely as time goes on. Each has its own optimal stage of ripeness. So how do you tell when blue cheese has gone by and you shouldn't buy it? It's already moldy.
I don't know!
For natural rind cheeses like Gorgonzola, Stilton, or any other blue with an exterior that kinda looks like dirt, look at the paste just beneath the rind. Is it kind of pinkish brown?
Yeah.
That cheese is too old.
Ageism
is the last acceptable prejudice in America.
Cheese. For other blues, look at inconsistencies in the paste's color. Other than some blue, it should generally be all one color.
Fuchsia.
If you see a lot of variation in hue, especially if it's darker under the rind, stay away.
Of course, some molds are totally safe to eat, notably the ones you see in some smelly cheeses, like blue cheeses and gorgonzola and Stilton.
Also, if the cheese looks slimy or desiccated, or smells like ammonia, don't buy it. Back to you, Clay.
Today on Wake and Bake Science, it's the science of life on Mars.
Is there life on Mars?
With all the talk of human missions to Mars, it's important to remember that the principal motivation for the exploration of our second closest planetary neighbor is to determine whether life has ever existed on the red planet.
We could find a footprint of Martian life that used to exist. And if there's plant life that used to exist, it could mean that there's other life that used to exist.
A recent study at Chile's Atacama Desert by Washington State University scientists indicates that the chance for life on Mars is better than we ever believed.
This discovery changes everything.
The entire crew is infected by some sort of bacteria.
Recognized as the driest place on Earth, the Atacama only experiences rain about once every decade, with an average yearly rainfall of 1 millimeter.
A silly millimeter longer, 101, a silly millimeter longer, 101, yeah.
The hyper-arid environment of this region, Atacama Desert, presents a previously unresolved question.
What?
Are microorganisms from dry environments thriving in some type of hibernation, or are they just dead or dying? Based on multiple lines of evidence, the research has found that microbial communities are indeed present and active even during the driest conditions. And after a recent extremely rare rainfall in the Atacama, scientists were able to detect an unexpected increase of biological activity. Basically, the addition of water woke up the long dormant microbes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
Hey there! Open up! Come on out! We're friends! Is that right? We welcome you! We're friends! Yeah!
And what does this mean for life on Mars?
I don't know.
Well, the conditions in the Atacama are very similar conditions just below the surface of Mars. So chances are looking much better for us to find dormant microbial life on our planetary neighbor. Perhaps we just have to add water.
Let's do the math. I gotta figure out how to grow 4 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this.
Stay tuned to Wake and Bake for more science.
The Free Music Archive pick of the week this week is called Navigator by Roach Davies and the Fleas.
If disgusting fleas in your house aren't bad enough, they can each lay 400 eggs. Raid!
The title track of an EP out on Valley Sound Records, this song is a lethargic, garage psych ode to flying in a spaceship with someone named David and disappearing into the vast expanse of outer space.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
David. Honestly, it seems like a pretty good plan to me.
Yeah.
And it's available for free streaming or download at freemusicarchive.org. For more music from the Free Music Archive, visit our website or join me every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. on the Give the Drummer radio stream for the FMA listening party each week.
Roach Davies and the Fleas. Roach Davies and the Fleas. Hooray!
Reaching over to make a tiny adjustment here, which will allow us to do Today in History. Ba-ba-ba-ba. For this Tuesday, March 27th, I'm so glad you guys joined me today. It's been a lot of fun. Let's look at Today in History. Going back to 1794, the United States government establishes a permanent navy and authorizes the building of 6 frigates. And it all started there, 1794. 1914, the first successful blood transfusion occurred in Brussels. 1886, Geronimo, Apache warrior, surrenders to the U.S. Army, ending the main phase of the Apache Wars. In 1998, the Food and Drug Administration approves Viagra for use as a treatment for male impotence, the first pill to be approved for this condition in the United States. 2014, doctors announced that a 3D printed plastic skull was successfully used to replace part of a woman's real skull in an operation in the Dutch city of Utrecht, 2014. And going back to 1973, Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead was stopped for speeding and LSD possession.
He just did the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
Hey, man, I never had no acid before, man.
Jeez, I hope you're not busy for about a month.
Hey, man, I never had it before, man. That's going to make me die. Well, this is going to make me freak out, man. Man. I seen those guys walk around. My neighborhood had too many acid, man. Their head looked like a pumpkin like that, man.
Relax, man. Hey, mellow out, man.
Is it your birthday today? Grab a harmony. Happy birthday to you, you Aries, you. Like Sarah Vaughan, born in 1924 on this day. Hey, you're in good company. David Jansen from David Jansen. What are you, wasn't he in The Fugitive? Didn't he have the Harrison Ford role in that old TV show? Michael York, great actor. Born this day, 1942, the English actor. And Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, born this day, 1975. It's Mert's birthday, 34 today over there in Thailand, a glistener. Happy birthday, Mert. And singer Mariah Carey, it's her birthday too. Here's just a sampling of Mariah's famous high notes. Dog whistle territory, isn't it? Mariah Carey, happy birthday. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Come on in, Matt. Here he is, Matt Warwick, pulling up a microphone for a second before he gets his show started. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Oh, you're growing it back. You're growing. You couldn't stay with the David Crosby, could you?
Well, it's still there. It's just growing around it.
Right, right. Are you just so used to the full beard?
Yeah.
That you just had
I just need to have something on my face.
Did Olivia say grow that thing back?
Actually, the other day she said, I kind of like it.
The new one that you
yeah.
have? With the handlebar and the mutton chops?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, you can grow a nice beard. She liked it.
First, she didn't at first. At first, she literally couldn't stop laughing at my face.
It looked great for marathon.
I know.
Oh, my God. And you sang so well.
I don't know about that.
Oh, man. You're always a highlight. Thanks for helping me on my tune. And DJ Time Traveler's good, too.
Yeah.
I love his show. Talk to him for a minute, Matt.
Oh, what do I have to say?
There's so many. Do a little freestyle.
Do do do, scooty bop bee dee. I'm scatting.
It's Tuesday at WFMU. Hey hey now, baby, it's Tuesday at WFMU. Now go up an octave. I know you can do it. It's Tuesday at WFMU. That was good.
That was squeaky.
I haven't been able to hit those notes since 1981.
I wasn't even born yet.
When were you born?
1987.
87. Wow.
Yeah.
Who was president? Clinton? Who was president?
No. That was Bush. Reagan, right?
Wow.
Or almost Bush.
Oh, that can't end, really? Oh, man, I guess that's our cue.
That's our cue.
You know when I was born, man? This is going to blow your mind. 1958.
Ooh.
I know, it sounds old. Eisenhower was president. Stamps were 5 cents. You could get a soda. You could get a pop in a machine.
Pop.
We said pop. For a nickel.
For a nickel?
Right, right.
Jeez.
I know, man. On that depressing note, it's time.
Down in the mountain's core, a baby volcano learns to roar. And when it turns two, he'll learn to spew. Hot lava, he'll learn to spew. Hot lava. Down in the mountain's core, a baby volcano learns to roar. For somewhere deep inside, he longs to burn. All the villagers alive, he longs to burn. With all the lava locked inside, he yearns to spew. And when it finally gushes forth, it might land on you. Oh, it'll burn the meat off of your bones after it burns down your home.
There is nowhere to run, you know, from the wrath of the baby volcano. And though you try to leave it behind you, all that burning hot lava will find you. And when the burning is done, you'll be a meatless skeleton, a meatless skeleton. But the smoke of your meat, it smells so sweet as it rises up into the sky. And the smoke burns the baby volcano's eyes. But those are not tears of sadness that he cries. It was he sent the lava gushing,
sent the lava gushing.
T'was he sent the lava rushing,
sent the lava rushing.
It was he alone that burnt the meat from your bones. You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.